Welcome to the Calvary Assembly Podcast, with weekly messages from the Calvary Assembly of God Church in Lexington, Nebraska. You can find out more online at lexag.org and on Facebook at Calvary Assembly Lex. Thanks for listening.
Well, I read a story about three friends. They'd been friends since they were in high school, and they'd been just hanging out together for years, and they were super competitive, as men are, men tend to be. And every couple years, they would do a friends trip. And so this one instance, they decided they were from Arkansas. They're going to go to New York City and visit Manhattan. And so they got up there, and they walked into a bakery, and the guy had a plate of wrapped cookies on the counter. And when the baker turned around, one of the guys grabbed three of them and stuck them in his pocket really quick. And his friend said, "What are you doing? Why are you stealing cookies?" And he said, "I just want to show you how fast I am." He's like, "You'll never be as quick as I am." I said, "Watch this." So I said, "Hey, buddy, come here." And he called the baker over and he said, "Hey, we're here from Arkansas. We're just here on a trip. And I want to show you an Arkansas magic trick." And the guy said, "Well, okay, sure." He said, "Well, to do this, I'm going to need a cookie." So the guy kind of looked at him for a second. He handed him a cookie and he unwrapped it, shoved it in his mouth really quick and ate it. And the guy said, "Well, where's the trick in that?" He said, "Well, I need another cookie to show you." So he handed another one and he unwrapped it, shoved it in his mouth. And by this time, the baker's getting really irritated. He said, "Dude, I'm about to throw you out of my shop. I better see a great trick." He said, "I just need one more cookie." And I said, "Well, I'm invested now." So he handed him another cookie. He unwrapped it, shoved it in his mouth. And the baker said, "Well, where's the trick in that?" And he said, "Check this guy's pocket." So sometimes we need to have faith, don't we? If you look in Matthew chapter 17, the disciples were having kind of a crisis of faith. They were trying to cast out a demon that was in a person, and they couldn't get it done. And remember, Jesus had told them to do what? Go out into the world and heal the sick, share the good news, and cast out demons. It was something they were supposed to do, and they couldn't get it done. And in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, they said, you know, in verse 19, they said, "Why couldn't we do this?" And Jesus says what? "Because you didn't have enough faith." He said, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to here,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." Would you say that with me, that last line? Nothing would be impossible. Guys, Jesus has all the power we need for us to do what he has called us to do. Now, does this mean we're going to get everything that we want in life? No. I test rode a 250th anniversary Harley yesterday, about a $35,000 bike. Is that just going to show up in my driveway because I pray for it? No. Does that mean I'm not going to pray for it? No, I'm kidding. But Jesus isn't saying nothing will be impossible, as in you'll get whatever you want. He's saying anything he calls us to do, we can do if we have enough what? Faith. But guys, I've seen so many people quit on God. I've seen so many people get their lives together. God is doing amazing things, and they walk away from the faith. You ever seen that? Now, let's be honest. How many of you here have ever hit a point in your life where you're saying, "I'm just about to quit"? You ever been there? All of us should have our hands up, unless you're like two, and you will someday, right? But we all come to these places where we're saying, "God, I don't understand. God, I don't get it. Why is this happening in my life? Why is this person making, sorry, that was gross. Why is this person making this choice? Why is this person doing this? Why is this happening to me? Why am I doing everything right and I still can't? Why are we saying all the right things and this demon still won't leave?" So I want to talk about a couple reasons I think we leave. Now, there are a billion reasons, but a couple reasons why we sometimes quit on God, why we sometimes give up on our goals for our lives. And guys, one of the things that I tell everyone is we need to have a vision for our life, right? We need to have a vision for what we want, what we think God has for us. We need to have a vision of what God has for our family. I tell people when they're doing premarital counseling, you need to have a vision, like a purpose statement for your marriage. What do you want to do? I want to honor God with my marriage. I want to honor God with my family. I want my kids to serve Jesus faithfully, right? We need those things, but why do we give up? I've seen people come into my office and say, "Pastor, I can't. I quit." And then other people just disappear, right? So what do? Well, one of the reasons I think we quit when it gets hard is we focus on the what, but we don't understand the how. What does that mean? I want to get here, but I don't understand how to get from here to here. And when things get difficult, I quit. right? Because most of us want to be spiritually, physically, and emotionally healthy. I've never had anybody come and say, Pastor, I want to completely blow up my family. That would be awesome. Pastor, I want to go to jail. That sounds really fun. Pastor, I want to get divorced. I want to go bankrupt. I want to be in debt up to my eyeballs. That would be really cool. No, no one ever does that. But what do? We make bad choices. And we get there. We don't build a solid foundation. So to reach our goals, we have to work on healthy habits. And that's what we've been talking about this whole sermon series. We have to work on healthy habits. James Clear, it's a book, you've heard me mention it before, it's called Atomic Habits. Phenomenal book if you like to read. But he says that goals don't determine our success, but our systems and our habits determine success. He says you don't rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems. What does that mean? It means if I want to be spiritually healthy, I need to have healthy spiritual what? Habits. If I want to have a spiritually healthy marriage, I need to have healthy spiritual habits with my spouse, right? I need to talk to my spouse. More than that, I need to listen to my spouse. I need to serve my spouse. Those kind of habits build healthy systems. And this doesn't sound super spiritual, but if we look throughout Scripture, we see this all the time. If you remember the book of Daniel, a young man named Daniel and his friend, a couple of his friends got deported. They got sent to Babylon. They were trying to make him Babylonian. They changed their names. They tried to change their religion. And if you remember, Daniel had this one habit that carried him through. He prayed 3 times every day. And even when Daniel was threatened, they said, you can't pray to any other God except the king. He said, watch. And he did it anyway. If you remember, Jesus would go out into the wilderness and do what? Pray. Jesus spent time every day alone in solitude, which is one of the habits we talked about a couple weeks ago, in prayer. We need to have those same kind of goals. So guys, we have to put things in place in our lives so that when we come up against difficulties, we don't give up because we fall back onto those what? Habits. The early church, they prayed together, they ate together, they spent time together. The same thing we say, we need to take advantage of what the church offers to build those habits. So healthy habits create systems of growth. When we put these healthy habits into place, when I spend time every day praying, when I spend time every day reading the Word, even if it's 5 minutes a day, those habits start building. They build a system of growth. And one of the things I love to do is I find older people in the faith and I say, how did you get here? What did you do to make sure you're faithful? I find older ministers and I say, hey, tell me some things that you've learned. And one of the things they say over and over again is healthy habits. I spent time with God every day. I had a heartbreaking moment one time. I was talking to a minister who was in his late 60s, and he had to leave his church. And he said, you know, I'm having to leave. I quit praying. He admitted it. He just said, I quit. I thought I could do it on my own. So guys, we're never too old. We need to build those habits into our lives, and they do that. They help us grow. So what do? If we want to be spiritually healthy, we spend time in the Word every day. It's easier than ever. We got these phones now. There's an app called the Bible app, just the Bible app in there. And it has reading plans. It'll even remind you every day to do it if you need it to. And you can spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour in the Word every single day. You can buy Bibles that are called one-year Bibles if you want to do the Bible in a year. And it's broken up for you every single day. When you spend time praying, and I'm not saying you have to spend an hour. Spend time intentionally praying. Spend time intentionally listening. Spend time intentionally serving. Right? So another thing we do, we focus on the what, not the how, but then we tend to give up if we don't see immediate results. You ever done this? I know, and I'll get on a healthy eating plan, and I'll skip donuts for a day, and I'll weigh myself, and I'm the same. I was like, well, this isn't working. Time to quit. It takes more than that, doesn't it? Takes more than one skip donut. Someone every once in a while brings donuts into the Y. It's like they're just testing our systems, right? But we have to be careful that we don't give up. So, and here's the deal, guys. We forget that small, healthy decisions add up over time. What do? With our retirement plans? We put them into savings, right? And what is that? There's this magic thing that happens called compound interest. I had this teacher in high school that just thought, like, they seriously, this is one of the wonders of the world. I was like, it's interest, it happens. But no, it's more than that, it's magical. No, it's math. But good decisions are like that. When we do this, when we start adding up good decisions, They build, right? They go on and on. They add up. We build this faith that happens. When we have these spiritual habits, this faith builds and it grows in those good decisions. Even though you may not see results immediately, we keep putting into those things. It grows over time. Yeses, saying yes to God over time adds up to a lifetime of faithfulness. Saying yes to those spiritual habits every single day builds that time. And this is how people don't quit, guys, because we add up these small incremental things. And I can tell you, personally, I've been in times where I've flat on my face, like, Lord, I don't know how much more I can take. Lord, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. I need you. But you know what we fall back on? His faithfulness and those habits that we built over the years. Those verses come back to mind. Those times that God has been faithful come back. So we have to do that. We forget that small, healthy decisions add up over time. But also we forget that small, bad decisions add up over time. And I can tell you those people that have sat down and said, this is how I messed up my life. It's not usually one big thing, but what? Small decisions over time. Those small things add up. So we need to make sure that we're putting those things in place, the good things in place. If you eat Twinkies every day, what's going to happen to your blood pressure? Not all at once, but over time. If we ignore our family, what happens? Things fall apart. If we ignore our spiritual life, guys, this is what happens. This is how things get in. And I'll tell you, I used to, for a time, Amy and I pastored a small church. I worked in a prison. That was my job. I was a correctional officer in a prison. And I remember we had to go to like boot camp. And I remember them coming in there and they would tell a story after story after story of guards that had been compromised and ended up in prison. And they said, you know what happens? It's not big. They said, somebody will come up to you and they'll say, hey, my cousin's in prison. They'll meet you at a gas station. My cousin's in prison. Would you sneak a pack of cigarettes in for him? I'll give you $10,000 to bring these cigarettes in. One time. That's all you got to do. And you know what a lot of these guys would do? They'd say, well, $10,000, I mean, that's months of work. And so they would sneak it in. And then what happened? When you did one small thing, what happened? They said, we own you now. And if you don't do what we tell you to do, then we're going to turn you over and you're going to end up in prison just like them. And that's what happened. One small decision. But it wasn't just that one. It was the little ones that led up to it, right? The small compromises would lead up. And this is what happens. So here's the deal, guys. We forget that our lives are a sum total of small decisions added up over time. Those things that we plant, those small spiritual habits that we pour into every single day lead to a life of faithfulness. This is how we don't give up. This is how we have this spiritual grit. I'm not talking about the John Wayne movie grit. That was a good one. But it's this small grit that keeps going every single day. We don't get the place we want to go in an instant. It's a lifetime of decisions. So Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. I love this verse. If you highlight in your Bible, this is a great one to highlight. If you highlight in your app, do this one. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Paul says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you what? Plant. We harvest what we plant. We have a squirrel feeder in our front yard. It's attached to a tree. It looks like a little picnic table. It's cute, right? I found out squirrels are terrorists. They will destroy your yard if you let them. Because you know what they do? They take these corn kernels and they store them away for later. And you know where they put them? In your yard. So I'll be mowing my yard and there's corn coming up. I'm like, this is the most Nebraska thing I've ever seen. But it's because they're what? They're planting corn kernels and we reap corn kernels in our yard. This is the same thing Paul says, you harvest what you plant. So those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature, the small bad decisions, will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So here's the thing. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. What did he say? If we don't give up. Guys, Paul is saying if we put these spiritual practices, these spiritual habits into practice every single day over time, we will harvest a lifetime of faithfulness, a lifetime of blessing. And he says, but we can't what? Give up. So guys, I'm asking you this morning, what is God speaking to us? What are some things that God is highlighting in our lives that we need to maybe stop doing, those little small bad habits, or some things we can put into practice? What is God showing us that we need to do to put into practice so we have a lifetime of faithfulness? I found this incredible verse from John Piper. He says, there's a place for grit in the Christian life. In parentheses, I worked hard. But it's preceded by and enabled by a gift. It was the grace of God. Therefore, all grit is living by faith in future grace. All grit is living by faith in future grace. What does that mean? It means when I go through hard times and I'm leaning back on those spiritual practices I put into place, I'm depending on God's grace to get me through. And it comes from those small acts of spiritual habits. So yes, we need to work hard, absolutely, 100%. But it all comes from God's grace, and it's that grace is being put into place by doing those things every single day. So one of the reasons we quit is we focus on the what and not the how. Sometimes we quit if we don't see immediate results. And then the last thing is we tend to connect failure to our identity. And guys, this is one of the biggest things Satan loves to do to us. And instead of saying, I failed, or I messed up, we say what? I am a failure. And that's not true. Sometimes we say, man, I blew it, I'm a failure, I may as well what? Quit. We've all done this with diets. Well, you know, I ate a cheeseburger, may as well eat two, you know, or ate one donut, may as well have 12. That's my thing. We tend to connect failure to our identity. So the first thing is we have to understand that many incredible people in Scripture struggle with identity issues just like we do. What, really? Yeah. What did Moses say? God, I can't speak. I'm not a public speaker. I can't lead these people. Remember that? Remember Gideon? He says, I'm the least important person in the least important clan in my tribe. In other words, I'm the lowest of the low. I can't be used. And God used him to do what? Deliver a nation. And he said, I can't. Paul, remember what Paul said? I was like one abnormally chosen. I'm the worst of the worst of the worst. Guys, we all struggle with identity. We have to understand that God sees you and sees me differently than we see ourselves. He sees what he put inside of us. And so, guys, we can't say, well, I can't. Nope. Yeah, you can. Because Jesus says all things are possible if he's called us to do it. We sabotage ourselves because what we start doing is we connect what we've done with who we are. So we have to understand that we can do all things through him. And we have to decide who we want to become and trust the results to come. So we work on who goals instead of what goals. Guys, I will never forget in my entire life, it was my freshman year of college. We had a mandatory class at Central Bible College we had to take. It was before it was Evangel University. It was Central Bible College. That's a dig at my son. He says, there's a CBC graveyard on our campus. But my college got absorbed by his college, and he laughs about it. But back in the day, there was a mandatory class called Social Dynamics for Men and Social Dynamics for Women. And it's taught by Forrest and Virginia Arnold. Forrest Arnold was probably, 6'3", massive bear of a man, and his wife was about this big. And they taught across the hall. But I remember the very first day class, we came in there, and I had no idea what to expect. And he said, pull out a piece of paper, you know, back when people actually used paper in class. But he said, I want you to write down 10 things you wish your dad would have done different. And so we all kind of wrote these things down. And he said, now, boys, when you become dads, you have your job list right there. I'll never forget. He said, you have the opportunity to change your family tree. You can change your life. You can change your kid's life because you do this. So in other words, what was he saying? It doesn't matter what your family did, whether it was good or bad. You have the opportunity to be different. You choose who you want to be. More than that, you choose who God is asking you to be. And so, guys, I want to let you know this morning that you can be whatever God has called you to be because Jesus said, if you have enough faith, all things are what? Possible. If he has called you to do that, you can change your family. And so the what I want to do comes from the who. So again, back to that vision. What do I want my family to be? Who do I want to be as a dad? Who do I want to be as a mom? As a husband, as a wife, as an employee, who is God calling me to be? I'm going to focus on that, and what I do will come out of that. Romans chapter 6 Verse 6, Paul says, you know that our old sinful natures, our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. So, guys, you have to understand, we can put these spiritual things into practice, these spiritual habits. We can put these habits with our family into practice. And as we're faithful, God will build on those things, and he'll turn us into the people he's called us to be. So it doesn't matter what your past is. It's all new in Christ. It doesn't matter what your family did or who your family are. You can change that through Christ. And so we need to understand that positive habits help reinforce a positive identity. I love this line. Now, I'm not sure who said it, but I wrote this down. No single action will change your identity, but consistent actions over time start to change how you feel about yourself and change your identity. So we start saying, I am a healthy person. I am a Jesus follower. I am a godly husband. I am a godly dad. I am a godly mom. I'm going to raise a godly family. My kids are going to serve Jesus. We're not going to have debt. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We choose who we want to be in Christ. There's a line from Craig Rochelle I love. He says, God-honoring people do consistently what other people do occasionally. God-honoring people do consistently what other people do occasionally. So I'm going to ask you to stand this morning, if you're able. We're going to take a moment to pray, and I'm going to ask, what is God speaking to us today? Is there a spiritual habit that God is telling you that you need to start in your life? Is there a bad habit that we need to stop? Something that's going to eventually reap death and destruction in our lives? Is God telling us to start the habit of consistent time with him? Consistent prayer? Consistent giving? Consistent serving? Is God talking to us about not giving up? Maybe you're facing a difficulty right now. You might have come to church this morning. You might have watched online this morning and said, you know what? I'm not going to make it. I'm going back to my old ways. And God's saying, don't quit. Stay faithful. All things are possible. We don't let our failures define us. And maybe God's speaking to us this morning about having a godly identity. This is who I am in Christ. I'm not that person anymore. I'm not that family anymore. This is who we are in Christ today. So Lord, right now, I just pray for all of us in this room, for all of us watching online this morning. Lord, would you speak to every heart in this room? Would you speak to every heart watching online this morning? And God, would you speak to us about who we can be in you? Lord, we can make it through this. We can make it through anything in you. And Lord, would you help us to start putting those godly habits into place to build the person that you want us to become? Because Lord, give us that faith that all things are possible through you. We can do what you've called us to do because of your power at work within us and because of the habits and the foundations we build today. So God, would you help us with that this morning? So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning, you say, you know, Pastor X, I don't have this relationship with Christ that you're talking about. I've never asked him to forgive my sins. I've never started this relationship, but I want to do that today. If that's you, would you slip your hand up right where you're at? I just want to pray with you this morning. If you're here this morning, you say, you know what? God's speaking to me about starting a godly habit. Maybe it's prayer, maybe it's reading the word, but God is just telling me, today's the day. Today's the new day, and I'm going to start it today. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? We want to pray with you. Absolutely. If you're here this morning, you say, you know what, Pastor? I'm just right on the verge. I'm so ready to quit, but I want God to give me the strength not to. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? I just need help not to quit. Yeah, absolutely. If you're here this morning, you're saying, you know what? Today is the day I change my identity. I'm not going to allow my past to define me anymore. I'm not going to allow those habits to define me anymore. But today, I'm becoming who Christ has called me to be. If that's you, would you just raise your hand and pray? Yeah. Well, God, I just pray for all those that raise their hands this morning. God, would you help us to put those practices into place so that today we don't quit? God, give us strength not to quit. And Lord, I pray for those who are working on who they are in you. God, would you help us to know who you called us to be? We belong to Christ. And Lord, help us to make those decisions that are going to do that today. In Jesus' name.